Right in the middle of all of this, he cries out to God for deliverance for all of his family. Keep an eye on them, Lord. I know that I'm telling them your word. I know that I'm telling them, but, you know, have some mercy. And no doubt this is to remind his sons that they should all be calling upon the Lord for deliverance and direction. Just like me, just like you, we should be calling on God. I belong to him. You would belong. I'm saved by grace through faith. I know, but I still need to say, Lord, I'm a mess. Hey, carry me through this to help teach us.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse, through the Bible. As our study of Genesis continues in chapter 49, Jacob gives a final blessing to his sons. Here's Pastor Bob.
Well, we know from chapter 48 that Jacob is going to die. And Jacob called unto his sons, chapter 49, verse 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and listen, you sons of Jacob, and hearken, pay attention, and to Israel, your father. Hear the words of a prophecy. Not only is it a prophecy, not only is he going to tell them their future all the way to the end, to the last days, but he's going to give them some blessings. So it's a prophecy. I know God has shown me what's coming. I'm just going to let you know. Prophecy and blessings. Jacob is going to tell his sons what their futures would be. Now, when I say that, when he says last days, understand that it's not necessarily them, it's their children's 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 children also. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the very first son, very first child. The excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. And you're as unstable as water. That would hurt my feelings. I don't even know what it means, and it would hurt my feelings. Unstable as water. You shall not excel. Well, that's a drag. You're saying that in front of all his friends, his brothers. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because you went up to your father's bed and you defiled your father's bed and went up to my couch. Remember? Poor Reuben thought his dad's going to die any time now. So Reuben went into one of his dad's concubines, Bilhah. Remember that? Thinking, well, I'm in charge. I better take over the family. And one of the ways you do that was to take the concubines and make them your own. Well, he shouldn't have done that. It was a long time before Jacob was going to die. It was foolishness. Even though Jacob doesn't go in exact birth order all the way, even though he doesn't do that, he starts with his oldest son, Reuben, the firstborn. And he said, you're my firstborn. You're the strength. You're it. The power, the dignity, the birthright should have been yours, Reuben. But Reuben forfeited that right. You're like unstable water. The language you and I would say today is troubled waters. What does that mean? The language carries the idea of turbulence in the water. You're spilling, you know, you're holding water, but it's shaky and it's going all over the place, out of control. One of the words that the Greek dictionary uses is boiling water. I know that some of you have boiled water, and it really gets boiling, boiling, boiling big, and you're holding it, and you're trying to go take it somewhere, and it's popping, and it, right? Unstable like water. Don't know where the guy's going to go, or we're going to trip. You don't know what he's going to do. That's Reuben. I want to give you some good news. When you get to the book of Revelation, you're going to find that all 12 tribes are still there. That's God's grace. That's how I know, according to God's word, if you say, I have given my heart to Jesus Christ, that I can say with authority, you will be there. You will be in heaven, and by God's grace, in and through Jesus Christ alone, and you will stand in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ by grace through faith. You will be there, maybe a little shaky, but you'll be there. So will Reuben and the entire tribe. So don't get the idea that, you blew it, and because you sinned and you were a dope, now God doesn't love you anymore. Nothing like that at all. It's grace, and it's grace all the way through. But he's just telling them what's going to happen to their tribes into the last days. That's cool. Wouldn't you like to know that? Maybe not. Well, look, everyone, look at verse 5. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. He's not just talking about Simeon and Levi, everybody. What's he talking about? The tribe down through the years and down through the years. The tribe. Oh, my soul, come not thou unto their secret, unto their assembly, mine honor. Be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man. And in their self-will, they dig the wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel, if it was violent. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. I know right there, right now, what's going to happen to their two tribes. One will be divided, one tribe, and the other will be scattered. And if you'd like to go to Exodus and on and get to the book of Judges, Joshua and Judges, you're going to see it actually happen before your very eyes. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. History tells us that the tribe of Simeon was mostly disintegrated. Not all gone, but disintegrated, like he said, divided. And what about Levi? The tribe of Levi was made the priestly tribe. They did the right thing in the book of Exodus when things went wrong. As you read verse by verse through, follow it along, and the tribe of Levi stood with what was right and true. And so what did God do? Tribe of Levi was made the priestly tribe, and they were scattered throughout the land. They didn't have a place to call their own. They had 48 cities, and the priests would live. From north to south, you were always near the priests so that they could serve, and they would in their courses, when it's their time to serve, at the tabernacle, and finally when the temple is built at the temple. So just think about it. God just told you what was going to happen to them. How about this, verse 8? Judah, you are he whom thy brethren shall praise. It's a play on words here. The word Judah in the Hebrew means praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion. And as an old lion shall rouse him up, attack, in other words, get up to attack. The scepter, verse 10, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from before his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the, now listen to this language, binding his foal unto the vine and the donkey's colt, to the choice vine, he washed his garment in wine and his clothes in blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine and his teeth white with milk. You think, what on the earth does the Bible say? It says the weirdest thing. It makes perfect sense. Judah means praise. Judah, your tribe, not just Judah, that guy, the tribe will be praised and respected by his brothers, the tribe of Judah. Judah is also likened to a lion or unto a lion that goes after and captures and conquers its prey. Does anybody know who the lion of the tribe of Judah is? Yeah, we'll see. And we know that because we have the New Testament. And so when God just told him that, we go, I get that one. Even I understand that one. He's talking about Messiah will come through the tribe of Judah. Judah has no idea what that means, but we do because we have the rest of the Bible. I don't skip parts. I really encourage you to read your Bible verse by verse. It can be slow at places, and the words sometimes hard to read, but it's okay. Get through it because it begins to make a real picture. You know, when you have a 2,000 piece puzzle, a lot of the colors look alike. And if without that picture, I couldn't do them. But I learned as a young kid, because I love to cheat, if you turn a piece upside down, it can fit in the wrong places. Did you know that? Now you're going to go home and try it, aren't you? But it makes for a lousy picture, and Christians do it all the time. So I came up with this saying on my very own. Christians are always have to be color side up. You're thinking, I think I know what God's doing, but you don't know what God's doing. You got a piece that you can't seem to fit in your life. What about this? What was that all about? And so you just turn it upside down and put it in a place you think it fits, but the picture doesn't make sense because there's gray pieces showing. There's no picture. You've ruined the picture. So lighten up, relax, and trust God. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea. And he shall be for a haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. And Issachar, verse 14, is a strong donkey, like a donkey, crouching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good, verse 15, and the land that it was pleasant. And he bowed his shoulder to bear, again, in other words, in work, and he became a servant unto tribute. So what are we learning? Zebulun would make his living and be really good. Not he, but when the tribe is big, the tribe will actually make a living as fishermen by the sea. And what's interesting is if you look at the part of the land that they're given, if you go to Joshua, they're not by the water. So it's natural to them, but they're not living by the coast. They have to go to the coast. And Idon, that is great. Even though their territory isn't on the coast, they really do well, and they become pretty good at it and wealthy at working on the waters and earning the living that way. And then there's Issachar. He's like a donkey. Now, in those days, the donkeys, you would ride them, yeah, but mostly they were for what? Work. They were work animals. They carried loads. The donkeys would carry, and they're used today around our land and around the world as carrying lots of weight. Well, this is a tribe, Issachar. He's like a donkey. The idea is this tribe of Issachar would be hard-working laborers. That's just what that tribe is going to turn out to be. And I guess I could say like worker bees, but it looks like here, verse 15 says, they're going to be forced to work for others. They won't get rich off of it. They'll just be serving others and doing the heavy lifting and the heavy work. Verse 16 says, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way. Okay, that's bad. That's not good. That's bad. He'd be a serpent, by the way, a poisonous snake, an adder in the path that bites the horse's heels so that the rider falls off backwards. That's a negative. Dan, the word means judge. Dan was to take on the responsibilities of providing justice. But instead, the tribe chose dishonesty, treachery, if you will. Like a snake by the roadside. It was during the time of the judges. Matter of fact, Judges chapter 18, that the tribe of Dan started to practice idolatry, worshiping false gods, and brought it into the land. It was the Dan. You know, they should have been, they could have been, but instead, they turned out to be like poisonous snakes. All right, verse 18. There's like a pause right here. Listen to what it says. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. It's like, was that supposed to be in the psalm somewhere? Did someone misscribe this town? No, this is exactly what Jacob says. He's telling his boys this, and then he says, I've waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Right in the middle of all of this, he cries out to God for deliverance for all of his family. Keep an eye on them, Lord. I know that I'm telling them your word. I know that I'm telling them, but, you know, have some mercy. Watch my boys. I love them, right? That's the idea of that. Verse 19, Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at last. That's kind of good news. Out of Asher, his bread shall be fat. He's gonna grow lots of good stuff. And he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He gives goodly words. Gad will be unprotected in the territory that he's given in the promised land. Gad's territory wasn't quite in the promised land, as you recall in Joshua and on. Gad's territory was east of the Jordan River. It was beautiful. Things were growing. It was great. And they said, do we have to go in there? We love this area. They said, come in and fight with us, and then we're all done. That be your section. Okay. So Gad will be unprotected in that territory that he's given, east of the Jordan River. Because of that, he's the unprotected tribe, and he was attacked the most often. When the enemies come in, they hit him on the way in because he doesn't have a lot of support from the others because he's outside the promised land. And then when they leave, they hit him again on the way back in case he built up some more food, right? So he took a beating. Asher would be fertile and very productive, providing good food, not just for their own area, but for all their brothers and sisters in Israel. Asher settled along the rich northern coast of Canaan. And then there's Naphtali, like a deer, you know, the little doe, a deer. He settled in the mountains. And it was great living. They called them the mountain tribes. And it was great living up there. They settled northwest of the Sea of Galilee, up north there. Northern region is so green, so beautiful, if you've ever been there. Okay, how about verse 22? Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him, and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. For thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help you, and by the Almighty, who shall bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep from the waters that lieth under, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. The blessings of thy father, verse 26, have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, thank you, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brothers. You can tell what's going on here. Remember, Joseph gets an extra portion. We are told that a chapter ago. He gets an extra portion. He went through a lot, didn't he? 17 years old, sold into slavery. They wanted to kill him, but they thought it'd be better just let him die on his own. Then his blood's not on our hands. So they sold him into slavery. You remember all that. Joseph's territory also included the territories of Ephraim and Manasseh, his two sons. So they got a really large piece of territory of the promised land. And Joseph is a fruitful bough. The idea of the language is a huge tree with huge limbs, sending out blessings far beyond his own borders, over the fences, over the walls, everywhere. All of Israel would be blessed by that area that Joseph was in. Why? Well, Jacob says Joseph was despised, hated by his brothers. Yet he didn't treat others the way he was treated. He didn't let that hatred, that ugliness, that bitterness, he did not give in to it. That's what the language says here. He didn't. He could have gotten them back big time, you remember, but he didn't. He loved them. He knew God was doing something. He just didn't understand what. So he trusted. We're told right here, because he was strengthened by the mighty God of Jacob. The only reason that Joseph was able to continue to trust and walk in faith was by God's grace alone. The only way I can do it, the only way you can do it, is God's grace alone. He didn't let the hatred, the ugliness, and the bitterness affect his heart. You hear that, Christian? By God's grace, we don't have to be bitter. I'm sure we've all been cheated and mistreated. I'm sure that we've gotten the terrible side of everything. Everybody's got a story to tell. But no one has a right to be bitter because of the mercy and the grace of our Father in heaven. He says, Joseph was able to do this because of the Lord, my God. And that's the way it is with all of us. He was strengthened, Jacob says, by the mighty God of Jacob, the shepherd, the stone of Israel, the Messiah, in other words, the chief cornerstone. The Lord God Almighty promises blessings from heaven itself to Joseph. And verse 27 says, Benjamin. He's the baby. He's the little one. He's the last one. Benjamin shall be a raven like a wolf. In the morning, he shall devour the prey, and at night, he shall divide the spoils. All that little Benjamin that we're all so worried about, you know, little Benji. The tribe of Benjamin would be a bunch of vicious killers, fighters, troublemakers. They will conquer and divide the spoils among themselves. They were a violent, fighting tribe, and they were cruel. And I'm sure all of you remember Judges chapter 20 and the things that happened there. If you don't remember, read that before you go to bed. It's kind of cool. Benjamin was a pretty rough bunch of men. Not just little Benjamin now. We're talking about the tribe. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is it, that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Everyone, according to his blessing, he blessed them. Notice, everyone's blessed. It's just that some of the tribes will do a little better than others. And God is telling you the end from the beginning. So when it happens, you'll know he's God. You'll know that he's in absolute control. When you get to heaven, you're going to be telling every one of us, man, it's amazing how God set my life up and did what he did. Right now we're whining. What are you doing? And how come my foot hurts? And wow. Yet we're going to be thrilled at the amazing grace and the things that God will do. And he charged, verse 29, he charged them and he said, I am to be gathered to my people. I'm dying. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre or near Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife, and there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field in the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet, meaning he crawled back into bed. He's very weak. He just got back, covered his feet, and yielded up the ghost. He died, was gathered to his people. Jacob gives instructions for his own burial. Do not bury me in Egypt. I mean, it's been good to me. It's been kind. It's where my family is. But don't bury me in Egypt. Bury me in the cave of Machpelah, near my home in Hebron, in the land that the Lord God has given to us. Bury me with Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, and my wife Leah.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.